you shouldn't trust yourself? Do you trust your judgment? Do you trust your mind on things? Do you trust what you think is right? Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. That's fine. But are you the one who determines right and wrong? Then who cares if you see anything wrong with it? When the Bible says that we have a period called the judges, where every man did that which is right in his own eyes, and it's the worst period on earth up until now, where we have like Judges 2.0, right? All over again. So again, we study the Bible because we want to obey it, because we don't trust us. At my best state, Solomon said, he says, man's best state is altogether vanity. I know that's a shot against our pride, but we need our pride shot at, right? Because in pride, we'll never understand God or his will. So we must be willing to lay aside, like our passage says here that Hannah read, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and evils and envies and all evil speaking. We're laying all of that aside as newborn babes. And newborn babes, they don't know anything about anybody. They're pretty fresh on the scene. They don't have all kinds of baggage in the background about everybody and all kinds of hurts and all kinds of disappointments and all this and all that. They don't have any of that. They just desire some milk. Amen. They just want to eat and they're thankful for the one that's feeding them, right? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, it says that ye may grow thereby. Now, they don't understand that by eating what the mom and dad is feeding that baby, they don't understand it's going to cause them to grow. But if you remove that food from them, then they won't grow, right? And can I say, God has given us a bottle, and he's trying to bottle feed us initially. And that bottle is filled with the word of God. Amen? And so unless we'll eat of it, why do you think it's so hard to get people to engage in discipleship after they're saved? Yes? I know, but you would think there'd be a desire. Jessica. Like they're lazy? Okay.
I personally believe that new believers look at their able to be deceived, but I think it doesn't work on them, especially new believers.
Those that have had babies, is it hard to get a baby to eat initially?
No.
It is. It actually is. She's shaking her head, yes. Moms have to learn how to get that baby to, we'll say, latch on, whatever. It's a tough process, right? Until you get that baby into that. So you would think that baby would come right out and ready to eat. But there is a little bit of a time where you got to get that new baby even into that mode, right? And I think that's where the believer comes in. We do need to get them in that mode. After that, though, once they've tasted it, and once they got that, and they're like, oh, wow, yeah, this is what I need. Eating's, that's one thing they can do. Yep. Maybe a lot of people don't know that, but a lot of new moms do have they really struggle in that area to get that baby to want to eat. Yep. And the more premature they are, the worse it is, the harder it is, right? And so, anyway, that's an interesting analogy. So it's our part as believers to get them tasting that food so they can get an appetite for it, right? So we'd like to think that a new believer would just instantly be like, man, give me more. I want some milk. But initially, we need to be there to help them get that taste for it. Then they should take off. They should run with it, right? So that they can grow, because we can't grow in Christianity without it. Do you know anybody in Christianity that they become a really, really good Christian? I mean, they are solid. They are consistent. They go to church faithfully. They soul win. They are on it, and they don't study their Bible. No way. It doesn't work that way. Yes, Nancy. You can't. That's right. You can't.
It wouldn't be spiritually anything.
That's right. And so we need to grow. But how about this? Do you know any dad that's a really good husband and father from a Bible perspective that doesn't study his Bible? No way. Mom, really good mom, raises godly children, absolutely the true Proverbs 31, doesn't study her Bible. No way. Any child, just absolute star, obedient, does everything that you would think a child should do all the way up through, not rebellious at all, just absolutely on it for God, never studies his Bible. No way. Let me ask you a question. How much do you study your Bible? It's the difference between you being a winner or a loser in Christianity. And whatever you've done up to this point doesn't matter. It's fresh every day. Do you realize that once we get through something and we keep on moving, what we've learned, we lose unless we keep it fresh. Right? If you don't use it, you lose it. Not completely, but it's like it keeps getting pushed farther and farther and farther and farther back. Anybody here ever memorize all the books of the Bible, like that, but just by name? Yeah? Amen. Could you rattle them off right now? You don't have to. I'm just asking. Could you? No? Okay. That's what I'm talking about. I think I could. I think I could get through that little song. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway. That little jingle. But the point is, you learned it, but you haven't kept it fresh. You could probably refresh it pretty quick now, right? But you got to refresh it. That's what study is to the mature believer. A lot of it is just refreshing it because I want to obey it. Does that make sense? That's that we have to approach God's word with that heart of obedience. Amen? And that's what this whole section's about. Hopefully you spend some time there. That passage clear down towards the bottom there where it says John 8, 31, 32. That passage deals with that. Let's go over there. Knowing the truth and it'll make us free. Turn over to John 8. The question is, do you want that liberty in Christ? Do you want that understanding that you are doing right by God? That's the question. Does that matter to you? And if it does, you know that you have to know the word because you don't know what's right. God does, and he wants to impart unto you that truth. Okay, John 8, who wants to read 31, 32? Yes, Nancy.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
He said to his disciples, if you what? Continue. See, it's not, I studied that, I'm good. No. I like when you talk to somebody, John C. You know what I'm talking about. You're trying to witness to somebody, and they say, yeah, I've read through the Bible once. You're like, good for you. Woohoo! Yeah! Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, yeah. When's the last time you read that thing? Well, you know, back when I was a kid. Well, man, that's too bad. It's you continue in it. If it's good, continue in it. And the depth of the Word of God, we build upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and that's how we grow. Does that make sense? But we have to desire to study it so we can obey it. Does that make sense? Questions on that, thoughts? All right. Number five. Understanding the Bible requires a hunger for God and His truth. So not just simple obedience, but a hunger to know His word. Make sense? This is very interesting. This is an awesome passage. Job 23:12. He said this, I've esteemed the words of his mouth, God's, more than my necessary food. He said, Job, who is way back in time frame, back in early Genesis, he says this, he said, God, your word is more important to me than that turkey sitting out there in that fellowship hall. He said, that word is, Esau could have learned something from this. that word is more important than that pottage that Jacob was cooking. It was the word that Esau did not esteem. And he esteemed that pot of, but he was hungry. Well, that word he should have been more hungry for. Because we would rather die being right with the word of God and then starve to death than to lay aside the word of God so we could fill our belly. If we understand the scriptures right. Does that make sense? We must learn to hunger and thirst after God's word. We should develop a taste for the word of God that becomes very, very good to us. Does that make sense? And that's really what this section deals with. Number six, we need to understand the Bible. It requires the right priority. Some of these are very close, but why do we want to know the word of God? And so he says on page number 70, says following are some of the ways that we can do this. And really what he's talking about here is just developing righteousness. He says the study of the Bible should come first in the day when we are still fresh and our minds are uncluttered from the concerns of life. And so he's talking about that way that the Word of God can become that first sense thing that I need, that hunger for it, that I got to have this before I go out into the world, into my day, that desire for righteousness, being right today. How important is it for us to live a right life before God? Listen, we're not saved by works, right? We're saved completely by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But once we're saved, there should be a desire to be like Christ, to know him better, to be that person on earth that God wants us to be. That's the least we can. I mean, if he did that much for us, we should kind of have some connection, amen, and be excited about what God is doing in our midst. This life now that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus is not about me. It's about God working through me for his glory. And when we have that, then we hunger and thirst after righteousness because now we are that express image of Christ on earth to a lost and dying world. And God would that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so all of this is required here. But that righteousness, that desiring to have his righteousness in our lives is absolutely paramount if we're going to study the Word of God. Consider this. God wants us to be conformed to Christ's image more than we do, right? And so if God finds a Christian on earth who desires to be righteous for the right reason, for God's glory, do you think God's going to help that person to study? A little bit. If you're a mom or dad and you have a child in the home, we'll say a 12-year-old. That's an interesting age, but very able. 12-year-olds are very able. If you have a 12-year-old and all they want to do is make mom and dad successful. I mean, they absolutely just want to be a help to everything that they care about. I mean, they devote their life at that stage in their life. They just devote their life to mom and dad and just being a blessing there. Do you think mom and dad are going to help that child out any? Oh, yeah, whatever you need, I'm funding it. Right? If that child is going to take what I'm going to give that child and they are going to run with it to help me and mom out, well, yeah, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that they can be successful. On the other hand, if that 12-year-old, everything I give that 12-year-old, they break it. Everything I give that 12-year-old, they destroy. They're a waster. They're lazy. They're a waster. They're self-consumed. All they can do, the only muscles on their body that get any exercise are thumbs and their mouth from eating. That's it. Am I going to do anything to help that child be successful? No way, Jose, and that is not a slight to Jose. Why? Because I am not going to cast my pearls before swine. That's why. And so, do you see the difference? The same is true for us. If we as God's people really want to understand God's word, his word, then we're going to have to approach it with the right reasons. We're going to have to want to obey it. We're going to have to actually want to be righteous for God's glory. We're going to have to want these things. And if we don't, then we can't expect in our real quick, you know, verse here. I've read my Bible today. I checked the box. I've done this. I was in college. I was in school. I was in church. I was in Sunday school. I've learned a few things. That's good. If that's our attitude, then we don't have that hungering and thirsting after God's word. And honestly, we're just not going to grow. We're not, even if the short times that we have Bible study, we're not going to get a whole lot out of it because we're not going to do right with it. Does that make sense? Remember, it's a spiritual book. This is not just a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. So praise the Lord. God makes all the difference in our world. And if we approach him right, it's amazing what God will do in your life. Amen. I pray a lot for a favor from God because without it, I'm in trouble. And how do I get it? By following his ways on getting favor. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to desire to study it, not just for our benefit, Lord, but for thine, for God, us to be usable for you in this life, God, so that you could be glorified through our lives. Help us to be that 12-year-old that does everything that we do for you, so that you then would want to pour into us really truths that we would not otherwise know. Thank you, God, for this time together. Help us now. Help us as we engage in study. Help us to have these mindsets. Help us to study this book, to learn these better, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.